It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, well, I'm fine.
And as I like to say, this is probably the first major thing he'll have to do. This might not be totally accurate, but he's probably going to be the guy that you would think hires Izzo's replacement. But again, as you say, you trust in Izzo. Izzo will probably have some say in that. In the meantime, the University of Michigan reportedly has their new president. It's Vanderbilt Provost Sabel Raver, according to multiple reports. Okay, when it comes to whoever the president is, let's face it, our audience probably cares, what does this mean for football? What does it mean for sports? And looking at Sabel Raver, there was nothing that I saw in her background, a brief look that, you know, like she didn't play college sports or anything like that. There's nothing that jumps out as having a deep sports background, which may or may not matter. It won't matter. They have to hire an athletic director, permanent athletic director. And I think if you don't know, one of the strengths of people in power, one of the great strengths anybody can have in life, is having a real accurate assessment of what you don't know and surrounding yourself with people that make up for those weaknesses or lack of knowledge. So if Sabel Raver is the new University of Michigan president, needs some help in terms of helping with the hiring of the new athletic director, I would think that whatever the president's role in that, it's surrounding yourself with the right people to help with you navigate a decision in which you perhaps, and maybe there is some background in athletics there I don't know about, but I don't know of any. So,
well, she's a raver.
She's a raver, yes. So anyway, that's my take on that. Michigan named their captains. I don't think there's any huge surprises here. Jordan Marshall and Bryce Underwood on offense. Trey Pierce and Rod Moore on defense. Underwood is the flashpoint topic with Michigan fans this year. You know, whether or not he will be what, you know, he is billed to be and how quickly he will be that.
Is this typical at Michigan? Starting quarterback is the captain regardless of what class they're in?
I don't know if that's a relevant question. I'll tell you why. I would wonder if it's typical of Kyle Whittingham. Now, the players, I don't know.
That's probably fair.
Yeah, did Whittingham, did the players vote? Did the coaches have some say? Things that I would like to know. But they also have a leadership council, and there's a lot of the people that you'd expect to be in the running for captain on that leadership council, some offensive linemen, some other pretty good players on the defensive side of the ball. But it's a...
Were you consulted?
I was not.
Huh.
Nor should I be.
Was Jansen consulted?
Jansen would have a lot more credibility to give as a former two-time captain. Have a lot more credibility to give. I'll just say this. I'm Jordan Marshall's one of my favorite players to interview. We have a lot in common. apparently his family, he grew up as a hardcore downhill skier. And his family used to go out to Colorado. And they would, I thought he told me a story. I'm going to have to go back and confirm this about, they were like taking little puddle jumpers up to like Telluride and Vail and all that. We were just flying into Denver renting a car, but they were, I guess, hardcore skiers. Anyway, so I've always had, I've liked talking to him. He's a guy who likes the winner. But that has nothing to do with his captaincy. Are you getting ramped up for college football at all?
Not just yet, but I know I will be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a sour place with college football, but once the season starts, I get into it. I do have excitement at Michigan State because of the Pat Fitzgerald era and seeing what that looks like.
Could be good.
But until I see it with my own eyes, I'm not going to trust what I'm reading or what I'm hearing from people. I just want to see it. I need to see it for myself. how good they can be. I like that they have a returning quarterback that I believe in. But beyond that, we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all this is talk. It doesn't mean much. In Ann Arbor, Whittingham said it would be around day 10 of practice of fall camp that they start to make decisions, and we're right in that neighborhood right now. So they'll start giving guys more first-team reps. I mean, Underwood, I mentioned, is the flashpoint sort of topic for Michigan fans. And the one thing about him being captain is nobody questions his work ethic. His work ethic is never going to be an issue, apparently, when it comes to Bryce Underwood. And that is true of last year's staff and this year's staff. But when Kyle Whittingham talked about him earlier in camp, he said he's making better decisions in the pocket. He's got the clock in his head is better when to get rid of the football. And he thinks he's much more confident in his offensive line. I am much more confident in the wide receiving core. This J.J. Buchanan kid, his goal this year is to not drop a pass. But apparently he goes and gets everything, and Andrew Marsh with another year. I think the wide receiving core is going to help him out a lot more than last year's group did. So I think, you know, again, we're a long way, well, a few weeks away, but I think there's a chance there for him to take a big step forward. There was a couple things that went viral from the world of college football. One was the most expensive tickets of the year. This was put out by a Twitter account, and it didn't really explain whether these were average prices on the secondary market or what it meant. But I want you to look at this top 20. I'm handing Gator a sheet with the top 20. Is there a trend in that list of most expensive games of the year that strikes you as surprising?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because of the team, but no, because of the circumstance.
Mm-hmm. I'm holding the graphic up to the cameras for those of you watching on Twitch and YouTube. And you can't really read the logos. I get it. But I can tell you that there are five games in there with a purple logo, the most expensive game of the year at $602. And it doesn't explain if this is the buy-in price or the average price on the secondary market. Is Colorado at Northwestern? That is at the top of the list. Number 9 is Penn State at Northwestern. Number 16, I believe. Who's 16? That is South Dakota State at Northwestern. Iowa at Northwestern is number 17. Indiana at Northwestern is number 18. Northwestern is opening the new Ryan Field this year.
It's ridiculous. Look at the teams that are like, the games are 10 and 11.
Game 10 is Alabama at Tennessee. Game 11 is Michigan at Ohio State.
I meant 11 and 12.
Michigan, Ohio State is 11. Ohio State at Indiana is 12.
Behind a couple of games in Northwestern.
Yes. Here's the crazy thing. The number one game on this list, Northwestern at Colorado, or Colorado at Northwestern, excuse me.
There you go.
That game is not being played in Ryan Field. That is being played in their lakeside soccer field turned into a...
Oh, that's not played at the new place.
Nope.
Then why on earth is
I have no idea. And I call into question the credibility of said graphic, but
honestly, I think the question.
Yes. The other thing is, yesterday the Associated Press top 25 came out, and Pat Forty tweeted out that something happened for that hasn't happened since 2015. Do you want to guess or do you want me to just tell you?
I could guess.
I'll hand you the top 25. And something has happened in the top 25 Associated Press voting that hasn't happened since 2015.
Is it that the number 1 and 2 teams in the country are from the same conference?
No, but you're onto it, sort of. I want you to look at the first place votes. Who got first place votes?
Ohio State topped them with 40.
Yep.
Oregon has the next most at 14.
Yep.
Georgia's number 3 in the country, but not a single vote for first.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame is 4, but they've got 6 first place votes. Texas is 5th with no first place votes. Indiana is 6th, and they have 8 first place votes, but they're 6th.
Yep.
Miami has 1 first place vote, and they're 7th. Nobody else received first place votes.
Do you notice a trend with that? Not since 2015 has a preseason top 25 come out.
Georgia not gotten a vote, or Alabama?
or any other SEC team.
Oh, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame and Miami, and then you have three teams in the Big Ten.
Yep.
Interesting.
Not one vote, first place vote for a Southeastern Conference team.
I feel like I failed.
You feel like you failed? You did not fail. You did not fail. It's the SEC failing. Hate to see it.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's just new college football.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Kang, I promise I'm not trying to make our co-host mad. I promise.
Wait.
But in a recent interview with German media outlet RTL/NTV, Roger Goodell was asked about the NFL going permanently outside the U.S. with teams or Super Bowls. At some point, there will be NFL teams outside the USA. I have no doubt that this will happen one day.
So what, like a team from Toronto or Mexico City?
I don't know. But Goodell told RTL-NTV that if the NFL has a team permanently located in an international city, that site could potentially serve as a Super Bowl host. There are definitely international cities that could host something like that, but we would like to see an NFL team in such a city first. The league's 2026 schedule features 9 international games, 8 league games run, 8 league run games, and a London game as part of an agreement with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Wembley Stadium. This year's host cities are Melbourne, Australia, Rio de Janeiro, London 3 times, Paris, Madrid, Munich, and Mexico City. Scott Anderson, how do you feel about a permanent NFL team outside the United States?
I don't like it. I mean, I was half joking about it. Let's have a team in Toronto or a team in Mexico City, because that would make more sense than sending a team to London, England, or a team in Munich or wherever you're going to play. Mm-hmm. I know where it's going eventually. I know this league is going to expand. And if they are going to expand, it almost feels like just do a big expansion. Then didn't go like 6 at a time. And littered Europe with teams out there rather than just doing one team, so that at least you can have travel among Europe. That makes sense. But then you start talking about how many teams does the NFL need to have, you know, or why don't you just create a whole other league there? You know, is the grand plan to have like 60 teams in a National Football League or something like that? And then you have one league that plays Europe, one league that plays here in the States, and eventually they really play for the worldwide Super Bowl? Or is it just that we're going to add, you know, 4 teams in the next 20 years that are going to be European teams, and now we're going to have a 36-team National Football League?
Well, let me start with this. I'm glad it's not the Big Ten talking about expanding overseas, but nothing would shock me anymore. This seems so unfeasible to
me. Oxford doesn't have their NIL stuff together yet.
Okay, first of all, you got to get the players to agree to go there and play. How many players are going to want to be relocated to an overseas team? How many free agents are going to want to sign?
I don't. This is an honest question. I don't know the answer. That's why I asked the question.
I don't know the answer either.
Well, this is a different question.
Okay.
My question to you is, do the players even have a say? Is this part of a collective bargaining agreement? Do they have a say on expansion?
I would think,
or is that an owner-only thing?
I think the players would have to have a say, or the league. If I'm in the league, I'm running the league, I'm consulting with the players. Do you have any interest Would you sign with an overseas team?
I would imagine most players would not.
I wouldn't think they would want to either, in which case you're putting a team in the league that has a severe competitive disadvantage.
Unless those players get a bonus to go over there.
I mean, I suppose.
Like, hey, you get an extra $500,000 if you choose to play for...
Well, then how does that work with the cap and things like
I'm
that?
I don't know, man. We're spitballing this out here. I think it's a horrible idea to begin with. You know this, and that's why Doug is bringing this up to get me riled up on a Tuesday before he leaves tomorrow, yeah, which makes absolutely no sense, Doug.
Look, moving day is
a... selfish bastard.
Moving day was a Wednesday. And it's a short show. There's a 12:30 Tiger.
Don't try to sweet talk me.
Yeah.
Could have scheduled it for today. But anyway, yes.
Probably tried.
Moving day's tomorrow.
No, it's Goodell. Goodell doesn't care about what the players think. He don't care about what the fans think. All he cares about is what the owners think. And the owners want more money. How do we make more money? This thing, it used to be about sports in general was always about, I talked to you about this morning, Doug, competition, true competition. Who's the best, right? That went bye-bye a long time ago. It's purely entertainment now. And entertainment is all about making money, more broadcast partners, more advertising dollars, commercials, sponsorships. So, yeah, this is happening. And now they're just straight up telling us. Remember when this whole international stuff started years ago? Oh, we might do a game here, and, you know, we'll see. Now they're straight up saying, yeah, we want teams out there. Yeah, we'll have a Super Bowl out there as soon as we have more teams and a permanent team in Barcelona or wherever. This is happening, and it's all about the dollars, unfortunately. And if the players had any backbone, they would say no. They would put a stop to this somehow.
But what would putting one single team overseas? You're right. It's almost like you'd have to put a division over there. Because I don't see what good it would do to put the Hamburg Bears. We've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time. It's pronounced Hamburg.
Yeah, not the other way.
Yeah.
Not Hamund.
No, it's Hamburg. The Hamburg Bears just solely over there. Would the other teams in the division be like, F that. Now we got to go. We're guaranteed to go there once a year. Like, this is just, there's so many problems. And the idea of a Super Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong, what time is it in London right now?
I think it's 6 hours ahead.
Okay, so it's
5 hours ahead, something like
that. 7:23 at night. In London right now.
That's right.
So we're going to kick off the Super Bowl. What time does the Super Bowl start?
Usually, what, 5:30?
Something like, I thought it was 6:38.
Maybe, hey, whatever.
So we're going to start the Super Bowl in London at 12:38 in the morning, after midnight. Is that what we're going to do?
Well, it puts them out, not us.
I agree.
But the players that have to play in the game where their body clock would be all screwed up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't think this is going to be something that happens for a long time.
I would bet against it strongly.
Yeah. I think Goodell just talks this up. They have so many things they have to work out logistically to even consider this. I wish they wouldn't. I mean, the dalliance with playing games every year in Europe, look, they sell out, and there's clearly an interest in it. But, I mean, until you actually have American football being played in Europe by high school kids, by college kids, whatever it is.
So they have a pipeline?
Yeah, you got to have something. You got to create, I mean, more of it. They, frankly, the seeds were sown so many years ago when they had the World League of American Football.
Yep.
But it died out. It didn't succeed. It feels like they screwed it up back then. Maybe they're better suited to do it now. Okay, then change the, instead of having the UFL right now in the spring, instead of having it here, put it over there. And see, because nobody's going to the games here. It's just a league it's like a second chance league. Throw it over in Europe and see how it works.
Jim in Utica, you're on 97.1. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hey, Doug. Hey, Gator.
What's up?
I got something I've been waiting to run this by you guys.
Okay.
Why don't they shuffle the deck? There's 32 teams, right? Let's have a Cats division. Four teams. Let's have a Birds division. Let's have a Big division. Ocean division. Look at us. We got the Cats division with the Detroit Lions, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if you sit down with them and do it, it falls out real naturally.
Yeah, that sounds natural.
Do you
I think and then on top of that, then you have there's six games, right? You play home and home. Then you have a rivalries division with six teams. In the case of the Lions, you've got your traditional rivals,
okay,
the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. We got to declare war on the Cleveland Browns. Why?
I don't want to. Sorry. I don't. It's a Tuesday in August. I know that sometimes we struggle for topics. I don't want to go down this trail of trying to reinvent the National Football League based on cats. I can't do it. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't. I know.
I had so many questions.
Yeah.
What do you got against the Panthers, man?
My first
the Jags.
One of my first questions is, please tell me you have other ideas. And let's hear some
of
those.
What else has he wasted his time coming up with?
Second question is, he started that call by saying he's been waiting to run this idea past us.
Yeah. Should have kept running on by.
What about the natural disaster division?
No. The big division. The Titans, the Giants, the ocean division. It just falls naturally. I mean, doesn't it?
The birds?
He's going to have to send over. Please send over what it looks like. And I want to know what division the Packers end up in. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Callers tipped us off to a Pro Football Talk story about the NFL monitoring the possible return of the Concorde and supersonic flight. That they are interested in seeing whether or not the Concorde is coming back to cut flight times to Europe in half. Gator, it's becoming more possible all the time.
Yeah, sure.
Just saying. All right, so Tigers last
night.
Where's
the Concorde been, by the way?
It got grounded.
Like for like 50 years, it feels like. The Concorde was the last time I remember hearing about the Concorde was Live Aid to get Phil Collins between Philadelphia and London for Live Aid.
Yeah, one of them crashed, and that kind of was the beginning of the end of the Concorde. But
yeah, let's resurrect the idea.
Mm-hmm. So you wake up today, or perhaps you've been awake, and the Tigers are back at a playoff spot, tied with Baltimore and Texas for the final playoff spot, the last wild card in the American League, which is pretty amazing because it wasn't yesterday there were seven teams. No, at one point this weekend, there were five teams tied. And it's not like the Tigers had a good weekend, and they're still hanging on here. It's 61-64. They beat Pittsburgh last night. It's kind of a night-to-night thing about how you feel about this team. Although one thing you have made it clear, Scott, you feel pretty good about this team all the time. You actually are enjoying them. You think they're fun to watch. And there was a lot of people that agreed with you earlier in the show when we brought this up.
I get bummed out when there's no Tiger baseball. I sometimes get bummed out when there's a day game because I'm getting ready at night and I go, hey, when it's time to watch the Tigers. Oh, they already played. Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be bummed out Thursday when there's no baseball this Thursday or next Thursday. I started thinking, which day would I rather have off? The Monday day off or the Thursday day off? I love watching this team.
So did you notice something last night about the broadcast or was it just me? Did the ball off the bat sound different on the ESPN feed?
It sounded loud, right?
Anyone with me? The crack of the bat on the ESPN feed, I'm not going to say they sounded like metal bats, but it definitely was different, wasn't it?
Every time I heard it, I thought, oh, that ball's going a long way. Right. Because it's that sound.
Yeah, Clark two steps in, makes a catch.
Right. Yeah. It's a fly ball shell left field.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Because it sounded like it was going deep into the night. No, I agree with you. It did sound different.
Anyway, there was a number of occasions where I agree with you. Hard hit ball? No, I guess it wasn't. Just sounded that way.
But also reminds me what a great ballpark that is they have in Pittsburgh.
So
it's a great setting. It's a nice ballpark.
There were
ballpark.
A lot of Tiger fans there, and there should be. It's an easy road trip. Have you been there?
Yes.
Okay. So it was built by the same architectural firm that built Comerica Park and was built essentially right around the same time as Comerica Park. I got to tell you, it reminds me a ton of Comerica Park. The setting is different, obviously. The gold bridge is very, very pretty.
the gold bridges that they have there, yes.
Yeah, it's a good look. But it really is just like another Comerica Park, in my estimation. But you did you have that feeling when you were in it?
A little bit. Not I mean, there's some obvious differences there. I think they took advantage of the backdrop that they have there because on the other side of the river there is where they have the like, downtown hotels and some high-rise buildings, and it looks fantastic. And the best thing they ever did was paint those bridges yellow because they pop, and at nighttime it looks even better. That side where the stadium is on that side of the river, the north side of the river, if you will, I'm pretty sure it's the north side. I mean, there's so many bars and restaurants. It's a lot like downtown Detroit right now. With that part of it, and the other side of the river is just cool. It's a city that has really kind of come into its own over the last 20, 30 years, and it's a great place to visit. We went there for the Stanley Cup, and that's, you think about that now, that's almost 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That baseball stadium's great.
Feedback coming in regarding the Tigers. Greg in Livonia writes in, am I crazy for thinking the Tigers should try and re-sign Gleyber Torres and or Javi Baez?
Yeah, I think you went too far. Gleyber is, he's not going to cost you $20 million because he opted into his contract. He could have opted out of the contract last year. He opted back in because he knew that he wasn't going to get that deal from somebody else. So is he going to cost you $15 million to bring him back? I love what he's done for this team, but as I'm enjoying this influx of young talent being into the lineup every day, I'm going to enjoy it even more next year when they have another spot to fill because Gleyber Torres isn't here anymore. And Javi's got one more year left, and I'm not going to be surprised if they buy him out. As it's the final year, if they just want to eat the 20 something million dollars for that, I think it's a lot easier to do it now than what was a few years ago when people were saying eat the $78 million. And plus the timing is right. The Tigers are having these young players that deserve this chance to play right now. And it's going to be over position players like Javi Baez and like Gleyber Torres.
I don't think he's crazy. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, boy.
Here's the first thing it would take. And this is acknowledged. This is a massive if. Both players would have to come back for less money. And that's one.
But Javi's still here for another year.
Right. But you were talking about buying him out. And the other thing about Javi in particular is position flexibility. I think that is something that this organization and this manager absolutely loves. Is that he can play multiple positions for you and two pretty critical defensive positions at shortstop and center field. So it would be Javi. I don't think they'll buy him. I think there's a good chance they won't buy him out. And if Gleyber comes back at the right price, because the one caller said he'd resign. Am I crazy for thinking he'd resign him? You're right. You don't have to resign Javi. He's got a year left. In the case of Gleyber, if he's not looking for more money, I do wonder if he likes it here. I do wonder if that is more like not hometown discounty. Because do you think he's going to get a huge contract offer somewhere else?
No, but I think he'll get I just think there's an opportunity here for the Tigers to really embrace what they have, which is this youth movement. And they've got players we haven't seen yet that are also clamoring for that position. They've got guys in this team right now that might be better suited playing there at this point. I like what Gleyber Torres has done for this team. He's a guy who gets on base. He has some pop in the bat still. I think he's a solid fielder. There's a lot to like with him. But after this year is done, I'm done. It's okay. Nice job. You did a great job here for a couple of years.
So reliable.
It was a really good signing by Scott Harris, but I'm not going to give him a contract north of $10 million to come back when I could use that money and get a bullpen arm.
From an unnamed texter, I think some Detroit fans across the major sports want the Disney movie championship where we stick with our guys and overcome all odds with some storybook ending. We need to more cutthroat. When guys don't work out, not every championship is going to be like the 04 Pistons where David took out Goliath.
Well, they've already started that. Gone is Casey Mize. Gone is Tarek Skubal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to try to make an offer for Gleyber Torres. I think that they will buy out Javi Baez. I think that's a real possibility for this team in the offseason. And guys are going to get a chance. Are going to be guys that we haven't seen yet that come up and have that opportunity next year. And they got tough decisions to make on some other players. I think we're going to see. I mean, the CBA is the big issue in the offseason. But if you can work around the CBA and then you get to actual the fun part of baseball, the offseason where you're starting to make moves and make your. This team should be active on the trade market, frankly. They should be. Because they've got players on the roster right now that can play elsewhere in Major League Baseball, and they've got prospects that they can play. So couple those things together, build the better roster.
I agree. Spencer Torkelson's glove is super underrated. He's just like an offensive lineman in the NFL in the sense that you never notice him during the game, but you really notice when he's not out there.
I don't know if it's way underrated or not. I know there are metrics out there and the StatCast guys will tell you that he's not good defensively. I feel like he's better than what those numbers show just because it's with my eyeball test, what I watch. I think he makes a lot of plays that he makes them look routine and they're not. But he also misses plays.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a net overall positive defensively. Maybe not a lot positive, but I think he's a net overall positive defensively. All right, somebody said they'd trade this guy who's in the lineup just about every day. We will get to that next. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Okay.
Doug?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the name Braxton Ashcraft?
No, but I feel like I need to get familiar with the name Braxton Ashcraft.
What a name that is. Braxton Ashcraft.
Can I guess, is this an athlete?
He is an athlete.
An athlete. Is he in some form of equestrian?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
But it might be a hobby.
Okay. Is this a Western Canadian junior hockey player?
No, but the name lends itself to, like, if you told me he was a hockey player, I'd say I'd buy it.
Braxton Ashcraft, yeah. Braxton Ashcraft.
He's from Waco, Texas. That's where he was born.
Is he a pitcher?
He is a pitcher.
Okay. Why do I know the name, or should I know the name, Braxton Ashcraft?
Because he is who the Tigers are facing tonight.
Okay.
Braxton Ashcraft, 6'5", 218 pounds, out of Waco, Texas. And all he did his last start, this is what he did his last start. He threw 85 pitches, allowed a home run, a walk, and three hits. In 9 innings.
Oh, he
threw
full
a complete
nine.
Game in 85 pitches.
The Maddox.
It would have been if he had been able to, I think, get the shutout, but he did not. He gave up the home run. He had a no-hitter, I believe, going into the ninth inning.
I thought a Maddox was less than 100 pitches complete game.
Whatever.
Okay.
What the hell? Right. But he struck out 10. He threw 85 pitches to get the complete game and had the no-hitter going into the ninth inning.
Interesting.
That's who the Tigers face tonight.
Okay.
So I always say, oh, that's great. That's what you've done lately. What'd you do the game before that? He threw five innings, gave up four runs, three of them earned on three hits and a couple of home runs.
You are correct. The Maddux is a game where a starting pitcher throws a complete game shutout using fewer than 100 pitches.
I'm glad I won that battle.
Huge win for Gator.
But as I'm looking at his stats on the year, like that's an amazing start, right? Mm-hmm. A complete game with 85 pitches. Yep. But he gave up the home run. I started looking at his other games. Okay, before they gave up two home runs. Before that, give up a home run. You get back to July starts. Had a couple starts to give a couple home runs. Give up three home runs on June 29th. This guy gives up a lot of home runs. He's given up 20 home runs in 141 innings.
Seems like
a lot.
Big Pank 65 says Braxton Ashcraft's parents probably own a bunch of oil rigs.
In Waco? Maybe.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yep.
Hey?
Somebody guesses. Is he a bull rider?
So that's who the Tide Tigers have. Cater Montero on the mound tonight.
Okay.
Ashcraft is... this is weird. He throws right but hits left-handed. He doesn't have to hit, though.
Feedback. Nick at work says, I'm shopping Colt Keith this summer. He doesn't have a position on this team and has a long-term team control contract.
I think he's a guy that would have value if you wanted to move him in the offseason. I think there's so much left. I think his ceiling is still so high. He hasn't tapped into that power stroke yet. Mm-hmm. I know he hit the home run the other day, and that was great to see. But it's, his ninth of the season? I think he's got well past 20 home run power in him. And you're right, though. Is he positionless? I don't think he's good enough for the fielder to play third base. First base could end up being what he is, but the early returns doesn't look good at first. I think he's better at second base, but they have so many options, and they will have so many options. But he's right. The contract is, I mean, it's been another 6 years on the contract.
Well, they signed him early to be the second baseman, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the plan? And then they
signed Gleyber Torres.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you guys talk a lot of, like, how you like the Gleyber Torres signing. I think we all do. He's done good for this team, but that blocked Colt Keith right away. And then, so right away, his early
didn't
in his career.
It didn't block him from playing. It just blocked him from playing second.
Yeah, but now he becomes positionless, and then you have other guys, and now is he going to be your second baseman next year?
I don't know.
Is he going to get a chance at it?
I mean, Max Anderson is the guy who you would think is going to get that opportunity as well. And that's why I say they've got a lot of options. And as much as I like Colt Keith, is he potential trade bait? He is.
If you think about who would you bet will play the most games at second base for the Tigers next year? Gleyber Torres, Colt Keith, Hau-Yu Lee, Max Anderson. That's a lot of legitimate candidates.
I'll rule out Gleyber Torres. I don't think they're re-signing him at all. So okay. I think that's out. I think when all is said and done, it's going to be Max Anderson.
Do you?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would have said Hau-Yu Lee. Kang?
Next year?
Yeah. I don't know why we're doing this.
I'm going to say it's Hau-Yu Lee.
Okay. Regarding the possibility of a trade with Baltimore, is looking for receiver help, and they got TJ Tampa, a young corner that might be on the market. They're testing, I guess, letting teams know he's available. Isaac Tesla could be a good clutch number three receiver on most teams if his hands are as good as we thought. Well, I mean, I get why people are questioning that, right?
Well, yeah, they had the two drops who were pretty big drops in the first game. I thought the first one that went through his hands and into the defender's hands, I think that you could split the blame on that one. Altmaier really threw a fastball at him from a short distance away. Maybe try to take a little bit off that one, but he didn't catch it. And that second drop on the fourth down, that was big.
Here's a lot of love coming in for Javi Baez and Gleyber Torres. From an unnamed texter, I couldn't disagree more unless we sign a big bat. Baez and Torres are undervalued in the clubhouse and a big part of this team teaching the young guys the ropes. Next text from Scott. Are you kidding me, Doug? We can't turn two without Javi and Gleyber at second and shortstop. Sorry, but McGonagall and Hau-Yu Lee need defensive help. We've talked about that, Scott. I don't know what you're talking about, but yes, I am in favor. I've made the case for Javi and Glaber. I don't know why you're directing that at me.
Well, because I'm the one who's vehemently opposed to it.
Yeah. Maybe but they're directing at me.
Way to go, Doug.
Yeah. Why would you buy out Javi? We are seeing a new outfielder we haven't heard of every other night. Javi is great in the outfield.
He is great defensively in the outfield, but I want to give one of these other guys a chance to play. I mean, next year you're going to have Riley Green back, Max Clark, and then pick your other outfielder. But it doesn't have to be Javi Baez.
Yeah, I mean, if how much would it cost to buy him out?
I think it's like $21 million, 22.
I think they'd be well served just to keep him, but it's a decision they may make. Here is Michael Stone.
Hello.
What's up, man?
I'm in for Mr. Rico. By the way, I want to ask you this question.
Sure.
Because as you, the play-by-play voice of the Michigan Wolverines and Gator, a big fan of, you know, televised sports, I turned on the Tiger game last night.
Yep.
And I said, wow, I didn't think Joe Buck was doing baseball anymore. He sounded to me, Kevin Brown,
yeah.
I had no idea who it was, like a young Joe Buck. Cadence.
He sounded exactly like Joe Buck.
He sounded exactly like Joe Buck, and I thought it was great. I thought he was really good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wish I'd paid more attention.
I didn't know who was doing the game, and I heard him. It sounds like Joe. I know it's not, but it sounds like him.
Exactly.
And
I did the same thing.
You took it a step further, though, Stoney.
I tweeted.
You figured out who it was.
Yes, I did. I
did. Did you think the crack of the bat sounded different on the ESPN broadcast?
A little bit.
We kept thinking, but Gator and I both had the same thought. Ooh, we got a hold of that one.
That's loud.
Yeah. Two steps in makes a catch.
Yeah. But meanwhile, the battle of the good challenging catchers last night, huh? That was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Especially early.
Our guy's really good.
Yeah.
You guys are really good.
I know.
Hopefully I can start hitting again.
Yes.
So what do you guys got planned coming in next?
Well, we'll talk about a little something about you. You guys talked about the deal with the NFL in Europe. There's something about it that I just don't understand, but it's the way of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So everything around this world, not just sports, is corporate greed. We will have maybe an inappropriate blind ranking coming up.
Oh,
as well.
I like the inappropriate blind rankings
wow.
are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, I want you to take a good look at Stoney's shirt and see if there, how you describe it.
It is a black and gray camo shirt with skulls and a golf logo. Is that right?
Yes. It's G-Force. It's a golf brand.
You are... I can't emphasize enough, please don't ever change.
What's wrong with this?
There's nothing. It's fantastic.
Maybe, you know,
you have to people tune in the cameras to see you next.
Okay.
Have a great show. Stay safe, everyone. Treat each other with respect. Carson Anderson, 97.1.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.